Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Hayomi is Sanhedrin Yud Dalet. We are holding on Gimel Amud Beis, four lines off the bottom of the Amud. V'chad lo yisamech. So you mean to say that the smicha certification can only be applied by way of three chachamim? So one chacham cannot certify a chacham and provide smicha. We have a story. V'amar Avida Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda quotes Rav. Bram, behold, zachor oyso ishla toy. We have to remember that man, a great tzaddik, for good. Who was he? Rav Yehuda ben Bava Shemoy. That was his name. Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Shalmali who, if not for him, nishtagchu? Dine knasa is mi Israel. All the dinim of knas would have been forgotten from our nation. What do you mean, nishtagchu? Why would they be forgotten? Nigrusinu, let's learn them. How could you forget, you know, halachas? Let's just review them and learn them. Ela batlu. Dine knasa is mi Israel. What we meant is that, if not for him, the application, the actual carrying out of Dine Knossos, the implementation, would have been forgotten, would have been done away with. Because, as Rashi says, only a person who has Semicha is empowered, is authorized to do Dine Knossos, penalties and fines. And since there was no Semicha at that time, right? So if not for him, the whole idea of Semicha would have been done and over with. Shepam Achas, Gozra, Malchus, Arisha, Gzerel, Yisroel. So it happens that the evil empire, Malchus Edom, enacted a evil religious decree on Klal Yisroel, being fully aware that Klal Yisroel is, Klal Yisroel's success as a nation is rooted in our leaders, in our leadership, in our tzaddikim, who guide us, who keep us on track. So they made a gzera, they made a takana, a law. Shekol ha-soymich yaharek. No more smicha. So that was their biggest threat, that we're going to have certified rabbanim to lead us, to guide us, to judge us. Anybody who provides smicha gets killed. B'chol ha-nismach yaharek. Anybody who receives smicha, likewise. V'ir, and even the city, shesem chemba, where smicha will take place, tiharek will be destroyed. U'tchumen, not only the city, even the outlying areas around the city. The municipal boundary of the city. If smicha takes place there, shesem chen bohem, yeakr will be uprooted and destroyed. But of course, we're not going to let this happen. So what did ma'asa Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, so what did he do? In order to maintain our tradition, to keep our rabbanim certified and our system, our litigation system alive, halach v'yoshav le'ben shnei harim gudel, he went and took position between two large mountains, hopefully out of view. U'ben shtei ayores gedolos, situated between two big cities. So he went out of the cities, not to threaten the cities, not to jeopardize the cities. Ubein shnei tchumei Shabbos, between two tchumei Shabbos boundaries, basically out of the municipal boundaries of the city, beyond the tchum Shabbos of these cities. Between Bein Usha l'Shafaram, between these two towns. Sort of no man's land, hoping that even in the event that he's caught, it won't result in collective punishment and destruction of the host cities. So he went to this nondescript area. And he applied smicha to five chacham, elder chacham, Elohim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Ezra, and Shavuot. Rabbi Avi Moisev, he adds another one to the list, Avram Nechemya. But the KGB was on their trail and they were discovered. Kivin Sheikiru Ayveyam Bahen. As soon as the enemies noticed them and realized what they were up to, Amr Lehen, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the grand chacham, turns to the Talmidim and he says, "Bane, my children, Rutsu, escape, run away. I'm going to stay here, I can't go, but you, save yourself." Amr Lehen, they turn to him, "Rabbi, how could you do that? Matei Alech, what's going to be with you?" Amr Lehen, he says, don't you worry about me. I'll be here and distract them and hold them up and you'll run for your lives. Hare nimuta lefneim, I'm lying before them, before the enemy. Ke even shein lohevchem, like a stone I can't move. Basically, I'm stuck anyways, quickly escape. Amr Lehen said, "Le'zozo misham." The enemies caught up with him and they attacked him. They didn't leave until they struck him with 300 spears, metal spears, and they turned him to a sieve. They killed him like that, Hashem Yigam Damei. In any case, apparently it was only one Chacham by the name of Rab Yudim Abava who gets this credit because he did the Smicha ben Siris Nefesh. Apparently only one Chacham is needed. You don't need three, as we said before. So that's a kash. Answers the Gemara, really, there were three there. He wasn't the one alone. Rabbi Yudim Abava Achrini Havu Badei, there were others with him under his auspices for a total of three Chachamim who endowed this smicha. The reason why we don't mention them, we just mentioned the great Rabbi Yudim Abava Mishun Kvaidai, the Rabbi Yudim Abava, in order to honor him. So we sort of relate it all to him. He was the one doing it, but in reality, there were two others under his auspices, because you need three. Asks the Gemara of Rabbi Meir. We just said Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yudim Abava gave him the smicha, Samcha Yivam, Rabba, Barbar Chana, or Rabbi Yechanan. He got smicha through Rabbi Akiva, Kalaimi, or Rabbi Meir. Loi Samcha, Rabbi Akiva, anybody who denies that Rabbi Akiva was the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Meir, Eino Yelotoy, he's making a big mistake. So which one was it, Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yudim Abava? Answers the Gemara. Initially he got smicha from Rabbi Akiva, but he was too young. Rabbi Meir was too young for people to, you know, accept him as a certified, you know, Samchi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva gave him the smicha initially in Rabbi Meir's youth. But like Kiblu, and the, you know, the crowd, the community didn't really accept him as a leader. Samchi Rabbi Yudim Abava Akiva. Later on, when he got older, Rabbi Meir got his second smicha from Rabbi Yudim Abava as per the story, and then he was accepted. Further on the topic of smicha, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, ein smicha b'chutz l'aretz. Smicha, as we know, is basically a bringing down, so to speak, of the shechina, starting way back from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an uninterrupted chain from then till today, and that can only happen in Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of shechina. Therefore, ein smicha b'chutz l'aretz. So explains the Sefer Taras Chaim. My ein smicha. What does that mean? There's no smicha outside Eretz Yisrael. Ilema. The loy daini dina knosses kalal b'chutz l'aretz. Do you mean to say that even a certified daini, a samuch, if he happens to be located outside Eretz Yisrael, he can't litigate dina knosses? Really? But now we have a Mishnah that once you're certified, you can litigate anywhere. Sanhedrin, if you're a true Sanhedrin, noyheges bein ba'aretz, ubein b'chutz l'aretz. The certified dayanim, they can act anywhere. So what do you mean? Ella, rather we mean like this. Deloy samchinon b'chutz l'aretz. You can't apply smicha in chutz l'aretz, as we explained before, because it's lacking the proper environment. Says the Gemara. Okay, pshita. It's pretty clear to us that samchin b'chutz l'aretz v'nismachin b'aretz. Suppose the Rav who's giving the smicha is situated outside Eretz Yisrael, and his recipient is in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, that doesn't work. We just said, Ha'amrinan delight. We said it doesn't work because you cannot provide smicha in chutz l'aretz. Ella, rather, the question is like this. Samichin b'aretz. Suppose the grand rabbi is in Eretz Yisrael, but the problem is his Talmud, who is trying to get the smicha, is outside Eretz Yisrael. But it's smachin b'chutz l'aretz. My, what happens there? So, is it okay as long as the Rav, who is providing the smicha, is in the right place? Or does his recipient also has to be in the same location? My Toshma, we have a raya that it will not work this way, because Rabbi Yechanan, right? The Rabbi Yechanan have a mitzayir alei. He was distressed regarding the Rav Shama Bar Abba, a Talmud, deloy have a gabayu. Listen, he wasn't next to him. He was situated at a distance. He couldn't do the smicha for him. So you see that if you're in a different location, if you're in a chutz l'aretz, it doesn't work. Likewise, we have a story regarding Rav Shimon ben Zeirut, V'chad Imei and his colleague, who was lower than him in stature, Umanoi, who was him, Rabbi Yisrael ben Achmoy. But Amr, some say, goes the other way. Rabbi Yisrael ben Achmoy was the primary individual, and V'chad Imei, the one with him, was Umanoi, who was the Rabbi Shimon ben Zirut. In any case, Rabbi Yechanan endeavored to do smicha to these two, and he only was successful on one, who was situated nearby. Chad Havagabayu Samchut. One of these two Chacham, we're not sure which one. In any case, one of these two who was standing with the Chachamim, he got the smicha. The one that was not located nearby, they didn't do smicha for him. So you see, that doesn't work. And the Rambam paskens that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, both you and the Rav Eretz Yisrael, then it works. Even if he's not standing there, we can send him the smicha, paper, whatever, it's fine. You don't have to actually, you know, be next to each other in person. However, if you're the Rav is in Eretz Yisrael, and the Samach, the one receiving smicha, is outside Eretz Yisrael, then it doesn't work. Continues the Gemara, Chanina of Rabbi Yeshe, Habakamishtakid Rabbi Yechanan, in an effort, Lemismachinu, to give them smicha, but it didn't work out. Like, Hava Mestayma, it just didn't work out. Rashi says, whenever they visited Rabbi Yechanan, and he thought he had the opportunity, but suddenly he turns around, there's nobody there to join him in the smicha process. You need three, right? So it didn't work out. Habakkuk had started to us. He was very distressed because he really wanted them to have smicha. Amaloi, so they told him, please, Rabbi, don't get worried. There's good reason for this because we hail from the family of Eli HaKoyin, who got a oynish, a klala. How do we know that the members of the Beis Eli family do not merit smicha? It's just the way it is. Shenamar, the pasuk says, this is part of their punishment because they abused the karbanos, right? The Chafni and Pinchas, Eli's sons, did not act appropriately in their service in the Mishkan. So one of their punishments was Layev Zakin Mebeischa Kol Hayamim. There will not be a Zakin in your household for all time. Now, what does Zakin mean? Literally means an older man. My Zakin, Elam Zakin Mamish, means no older people, they'll die young. We know that already. The other pasuk says, V'chol Marbis Beischa Yomusu Anoshim. Right? So it already says that the members of the Beis Eli will die Anoshim young. So why repeat, apparently it means like this. Rashi explains that even Chachamim who hail from Beis Eli, who did merit longevity, let's say through intensive involvement in Torah and Gilas Chasadim, serious nefesh for those two things which actually can prolong their lives, as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah brings, Torah and Gilas Chasadim can bring them Arichas Yom, can override their decree, override their gzera of short lives. So even if you get to that point, and you're really deserving of Samicha, there will not be Smicha given to them. They just won't be Zeicha to that. They won't have that, they will never gain that status, earn that status of being Roy for Sanhedrin, having Smicha. And that explains why we, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yeshe, are not Roy. Don't worry, Rabbi Yechon, don't take it personally. It's just, it's about us. Rabbi Zeira have a mitamer lemismicha. Rabbi Zeira was hiding. He tried to avoid getting smicha. He didn't want smicha. He wanted to lie low, keep low profile. Damar Rabbi Laza, because Rabbi Laza says loyelam havi kovel v'kaim. Kovel means, Rashi says, afil, dark. Stay out of the limelight, right? Stay low v'kaim and survive. Rashi says because Rabbonus is mekaberes is baaleh, taking on a position of leadership, becoming famous can bring ayin hara. He wanted to lie low in the woodwork and avoid smicha. But kiv and disham alaha damar balaz. Once you heard following a lesson from Rabbi Lazar, ein adam oyle l'gdula. Before a person rises to prominence, first Hashem erases his whole avera record. Elim kaidem moichal in loikal eskalavaneisav al kalavaneisav. Becomes a new person, a new slate, a new entity. He's now a leader. So he figured, okay, let's go for it. Amtzil anafshei. He availed himself for simicha. So when they went to do smicha, Rabbi Zeira, surely hachi. So the crowd chanted the following poem that they sing by a kala. Le'kachal, we don't need eye paint for you. Le'shrak, we don't need face makeup. Le'pirchas, nor braiding of the hair. Ve'yalaschein, you have internal beauty. Likewise, Rabbi Zeira, you're internally fit for the position, and we accept you. We accept you upon ourselves. Kisamchul Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Asi. When they did smicha to Ram Ravasi, they chanted a similar thing. They chanted them as follows: Kol min dein, kol min dein. All of these types of people, smuchu lana, certify for us, appoint for us. These are the people that are really suitable. They're learned. They're right. They're bali madrega. Right. Loisis smuchu lana. Don't provide us with leaders that are loy misar mitin. People who can't explain themselves, can't articulate their reasonings. Ulay misamisen, or those who twist around the words of the Torah. Amri lo mechamisen. Some say they chanted, "Don't give us the chamisen, lashon of chamas of robbery." Those who hold back their words and don't teach. Ulay meturmisen. Empty people that are devoid of content. We want people like you, like Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Rav Avohu, on a similar note, Rav Avohu was a great Talmud Chacham, and he was also close to the royal family, to the Kesar's family, Keva Asi. When he would visit from the yeshiva to the Beit Kesar, Navki Matronis to Beit Kesar, all the mistresses to come out, and he would chant before him, Rabba da Amei, the teacher, the leader, the Nasi of his nation, Madbarno de Umsei, the spokesman, the leader of his nation, Boitzin de Nahira, he was very good looking, so he is like the pillar of light, Brich Masich Lishlam, which is basically saying, Baruch Bayacha Lishalim. Arivas Egla B'Shleish. So the mission continues that if we find a victim on the road, we measure up the closest city, brings a young calf whose head is removed, and that's done through three dayanim. Tana Rabbanan, how do we know three? So the pasuk says, V'yotzu zekeinecha v'sheftecha u'madadu el ha'orim ha'shesviu ha'sechalol. So zekeinecha v'sheftecha should go out and make that measurement. So the word zekeinecha is plural, shnayim, two dayanim. Sheftecha is again two dayanim, shnayim. Total of four. You can't leave bezin as an even entity, you have to make it odd. Ve'en bezin shakel, right? You had one more for total of five. Harekan chamisha devar bidar, read the holds. Five dayanim were involved in this process. Shimon Aimer, no, only three. Because the kenecha is shnayim, is two. Ve'en bezin shakel, and you can't leave it as an even number. Ma'isivin alei dechot, so you add one more. Hakan shleisha, for total of three. Asks the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon, what does he do with sheftecha? Which is another two. Hai sheftecha, mayavidle. Answer is, it's needed for something else. How mi barle, it's needed to teach us that these dayanim, these chachamim, needed to be members of the grand Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. How mi barle, l'miyuchadin shebesheftecha. Rashi says, sheyiyu mezikni Sanhedrin gedoyla. Not just regular dayanim of the, you know, standard 23 dayan bezin, they need to belong to the Supreme Court in Yerushalayim. So that's what the pasuk is for. And all you have is zikenecha to tell you to ask. It says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so how does he respond? I mean, if you need to know the identity of the zikenim, so sheftecha is used for that. The answer is we have plenty of psukim to go around. Mizikne zikenecha nafka, because you didn't have to say zikenecha. You could say v'yatzu zikne sheftecha. Zikenecha, oh, the special ones, the pronounced ones, the ones from the Bezna Gadol. So you learn it from there. But Rabbi Shimon responds, no, im zikne. If the pasuk would only say zikne, there would be room for confusion. I would think it means any random, you know, Talmud Chacham, not necessarily a member of any Bezna. Havamina zikne ashuk. Kasa rachmona, that's why the pasuk has to say zikenecha. You need to have Sanhedrin. But still, which Sanhedrin? Maybe the, small Sanhedrin. If we would only say Zekenecha, I would think Sanhedrin Ketan. Yeah, he has to be a member of Sanhedrin, but 23, a mini Sanhedrin. Kos Rechonim Sheftecha, comes the positive Sheftecha, a member of the grand Sanhedrin. Mimiuchadim Sheftecha. So it's all needed. There's nothing extra, says Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, all we know is two dayanim, because Zikne, right? Zekenecha means two. All the extra psuk, that's all coming to teach you. The identity of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, no. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say to that? No, he says, Gamar zikne zikne mivisamcho zikne edes yideyim. We don't need a special indication here, a special pasuk in terms of identity, because we know that from Gzeirah Shav, we connect the word zikne bayas to zikne in yesterday's daf by the par, right, that the tzibur brings on account of a grave sin, and there it says zikne eda. So zikne zikne, and that allows us to import from there, Malahan, just like over there, who are the ziknei miyuchad shebe'eda, as we learned yesterday, ha'eda, members of the grand court, afkan here as well by the egla ruva miyuchad shebe'zekenecha. The elders are the pronounced elders, the prominent elders, members of the grand Sanhedrin. Ask the Gemara, yolof. Okay, so hold it. Quanta rida, we connect one to the other. If you're learning from there to here, just learn everything, including the numbers. Leilav kulam musa me'asam. And just like Rabida told us yesterday that by the Parhelam Daoshal Tzibur, it involves five Dayanim. Same thing with the Egla Rufa. So we don't need these Psukim anymore. Zekenecha, Vishavtecha, these words, Lamali, why are they needed for? Ella, you're right, says the Gemara, he does not adopt that Zereshavim. So it takes us back to the question of how does he know that it's more than two Dayanim? Right? How does he get to four, which ends up resulting in five? Ela vav. There is an extra letter, a vav, of v'sheftecha l'minyana, coming to teach you. And you add two more dayanim. So it's two plus two, which turns into five. No, but Rabbi Shimon, who says we stop at two, which turns into three, vav le'darish, he doesn't expand on the vav, and therefore he doesn't apply it to anything. Ela miyatav. That's the case that we focus on the word by word of the pasuk. What about the words v'yatsu? What about umadadu in that same pasuk? Add two more, add four more. Dayanim, ela miyatav v'yatsu is shnayim, another two. Umadadu is another two, shnayim. So that gets us from five to nine, according to Rabbi Shimon. And it gets us from three to seven, according to Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Haritish, according to Rabbi Da, gets us to nine. Rabbi Shimon gets us to Shiva, to seven. And so the one we boil, that's needed for something else. The Sani, as we learned in the Brisa, a Yotzu means it's a personal endeavor, a personal effort. Hein v'lo shluchan. The Sanhedrin themselves go out and measure. They don't send out a, you know, hire a professional surveyor to do the job. They do it personally. Umadu to teach us. We always do this measuring process. Shafilu nimtza ba'alil la'ir. Even if you find the victim very close to a city, it's evident to all that this is the closest city. Tzarek, Lasais, Medida, you still have to go and measure. It's part of the process. Okay, so far we have a machlekes in terms of the count. How many dayanim are involved in measuring the closest city to the victim regarding Egla Rufa? We have either three or five. Here comes a third shita, which says, well, the whole bezdin is involved as one entity. Masnis now a Mishnah, which provides just two shittas. The Lekiya Tana is unlike the following Tana. The son, the Blessed Ben Yaakov Omer, the Yotzu Zekanecha Shevtecha, teaches us, well, Zekanecha Zu Sanhedrin. And we're going to learn later, it means the entire Sanhedrin, all of them, have to be out there. V'Shevtecha, actually, it's coming to add much more. Zemelech V'Kohen Gadol. So the king and the Kohen Gadol have to be involved as well. Why? Because Melech and Kohen Gadol relate to the concept of Mishpat. By Melech, we have a Pasha Dechsiv, Melech b'mishpat yamid oretz. And by Kohen Gadol, we have the pasuk d'chsiv b'basa l'kayhanim alivim b'la shayfet. So we see that a king and Kohen Gadol are synonymous with mishpat, keeping the tradition, keeping Klal Yisrael on track. So we know that contra b'lezim Yaakov, we can't suffice just with dayanim, we require the presence of the king and the Kohen Gadol. Now, comes another question. How many of the dayanim have to be there contra b'lezim Yaakov? And how much do we have? Number five, number three, Iboilu. Here comes the question. Going to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Bechad the Paluk, is he only disagreeing on one point, that he's adding the king and the Kohen Gadol? But in terms of the number of members of Sanhedrin that are present, that's like the Mishnah, either three or five, or Ibutarti Paluk, or perhaps he's arguing on both things. It's a double-prong machlekes. And the Gemara explains. Shall we say it's a limited machlekes, but Melech, Kohen Gadol, Paluk, he's only arguing on that. Allah be Sanhedrin, when it comes to Sanhedrin, Ikra Biyudah, Ikra Shimon. He'll go either with a reader of Shimon, three or five. Adumu or B'Sanhedrin Ami Plug. He's arguing regarding the number of Sanhedrin as well. Because according to him, Kula Sanhedrin, but we need the entire membership there. Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, I will prove to you that in fact, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the entire membership has to be present. Here's an interesting raya, very interesting raya from the Zokein Mamre. So we have an elder Talmud Chacham, right, who is a man of authority, and he ruled, he paskin the halacha, he voiced his opinion. He implemented it in his town, but then he was taken to the Bezna Gadol, who disagreed with him. And he turned around and he defied them, defied their ruling, went back to his own hometown, and continued promoting his opinion. That's called a Zokein Mamre, who gets punished with Chenek, because it sort of unsettles our whole, Torah tradition, which requires an absolute authority, the Bezna Gadol, and he's, poking holes in that system. In any case, Raisa says, Motzon HaBeis Pagi. Let's say he encountered the Sanhedrin in a place called Beis Pagi, which is actually in Yerushalayim, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. V'im Ra'alein, he encountered them, he had a discussion, and then he went and disagreed with them. Yochel Teyam Rosh HaMra, perhaps he turns into a Zaki in Mamre with all its consequences. No! Tamad Lema, Pasuk says, no. V'kam Tov Alis HaLamakim. It applies only if he met them in their environment, in their designated location. Malamidis teaches us Shamokim Goyram. The Malkim, the Beis HaMikdash, where they're meant to take court, that triggers the system, that triggers the process. They have their environment, they're set to the Shemayim. But if he interacted with them elsewhere, it does not trigger the Zokein Mamre process. Now, okay, that's the Allah. Let's pick just a side point here. How many Sanhedrin did he meet, and why were they there? The Nafuk Kama, how many members were there outside, the Beis HaMikdash? Ilema Miktsasin, shall we say, it was just a small portion of the Sanhedrin that he met. Well, of course it's not going to work. Dil Mahanach, that's not called defying the Sanhedrin, because it's just a minority. Dil Mahanach Dikka Gavai, perhaps, the majority of the members were still in the Beis HaMikdash, Kaimi Kavasei are on his side. So of course it's not called defiance. It's nothing to talk about. El Pshita, must be the Nafuk Kulu. They all went out of the Beis HaMikdash, and he met them all as one. Okay, so we need a pasuk that still, since they're not in their home, you know, turf, it doesn't work. But now the question is, why were they out there? Lamai, why were they leaving the Beis HaMikdash? Ilam el dvar rishus, was it only for an arbitrary thing, for some sort of activity? You can't do that. You know, I'll leave like that. Mi matzu nafki, can they just leave like that? But see what the pasuk says, you have to leave behind a representation of at least 23 dayanim. Sharurich aganasar, al yachsar hamazik, we learn from here, Sharech is the belly, the center of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, of the world, which is the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Sanhedrin sits. Agan HaSar, they sit like a semi-circle, like a half moon. Al Yechzar HaMozek. You must ensure that there's always a representation, a third, equal to 23 Dayanim, like, you know, the third wine that's mixed in with the water, a mezek, right? So, like sort of a microcosm, a micro-bezn, a mini-bezn. You can't just pick up and leave entirely. El-Abshidil Dvar Mitzvah. Must be they left for a good reason to do a mitzvah. Echidami, give an example of a mitzvah which would justify their relocation. We have only one option, one candidate going to measure for the Eglah Rufa. Now, why do we need the entire bezn out there? Oh, Rebbeleza ben Yaakov, talking to Rebbeleza ben Yaakov, the one who says, Kulis Haner Bini, we need everybody there. Beautiful Raya, says Rabbi Yosef, that in fact, Rebbeleza ben Yaakov requires the entire membership to be involved. Amalei Abayis. Abayis says, no, I have another reason why they would have left the Yerushalayim. Lai! Gion Shiyotze Loisev Alayir Alazaris. Perhaps they went to expand the municipal boundaries of Yerushalayim, the Azaris of the Beis HaMikdash, and that requires the full membership of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Because it's not, as the Mishnah said, we had that back in the base, if you remember. Eimo Yosef and Alayir Alazaris. You can only expand these areas. Elwe Bezen Shoshivim Be'echot. So perhaps that's why they went there. But we have a brisa like Rabbi Yosef, Tanik of Rabbi Yosef, Matzah Beis Pagi. So again, back to the Zokin Mamre, he encountered the Sanhedrin out in the Beis Pagi. Himaralein, and defied their rulings. Why were they there? Kigoyin says the brisa. Both examples. Kigoyin Shiyotzel Medidas Egla. They went out to measure for the Egla. There you go. Ulohoysev Aleir Lazarus, or to add onto the city. So in any case, he met them all there. Yochal Te Amrus Amra. Perhaps this triggers the Zokin Mamre process. No, Tamalayim, the pasuk says, it's contingent upon being in the Beis HaMikdash. But come to Valis al Amokim, we learn Malame, which teaches us Shamokim Ger in the place. The environment is what triggers it. So technically it doesn't work, but we certainly have a Raya that according to Rebbeleza ben Yaakov, the entire Sanhedrin, in its entirety, all members have to be present by the measurements of the Eglah Ruf. Netar Ravai, Umasar Shem, Shinama Vidu Mishlash, Mishnah says, how many experts have to come appraise the value of Maser Sheni, of Netar Ravai, the fruit that, you know, the fourth year fruit, of Maser Sheni, which is meant to be brought to Yerushalayim, which can be redeemed, and the money brought to Yerushalayim, and spent on foodstuffs instead. How many do need to be involved to make this appraisal? Three experts. Tan Rabbonon, Ezeo Maser Sheni, Shinema Vidun. Oh, and only if it's items that are not really clear-cut in terms of their market value. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Shinema Vidun. They don't have a clear-cut fixed rate. For instance, perashir kivu, fruit that's already on its way out, v'ayin shehikram, wine that's souring, moisher chlidu, money that's rusting, tan rabbonon. We have the same in a brisa, maser sheni, shindam of yiduin, dev maser sheni, whose value isn't exactly known. Poydenoi se v'shleish lekuchas, you need three lekuchas, three, you know, merchants. You don't need dayanim, you need three merchants. It's a monetary determination. Avaloi v'shleish sheni lekuchas, you can't have three that are not experts. I feel nachri echad mem. Here comes a chiddush. Even if one of the three happens to be a guy, it's okay. I feel echad mem bailu. Even if one of them happens to be the owner of the item, it's okay. It's not a judgment. It's not litigation. It's not dayanus. Just have to determine value. Oh, here comes a shaila from Rapapa. Boy, Rapapa. You say three. Okay. Shloisha. Let's say we have three, but they're partners. They have a joint account. Perhaps they're so much on the same page. They see things the same way, the same opinion. You don't have that broad spectrum of varying opinions. Shloisha matil v'terchkes echad mau. Are they qualified to determine value of this thing? Toshma, we have a raya, that works. Ishtu shtei noshav. Even a man with both of his wives, who we assume are all sort of joining the same financial, you know, part of the same financial enterprise, still they can be considered three people regarding poydin maser sheni. Shein dami vidun, whose value isn't really known. Answers they were no. Perhaps we're speaking, Dilma could go in like a papa and his wife, who was ubas abasura, who had different businesses. So they didn't have this joint account. And here, they're considered two separate entities, two separate people with differing opinions. But otherwise, we don't know what the halacha would be. Okay, one more piece. Hakdeshes b'shloisha. in order to redeem a Hegdash item, so something was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, you redeem it by way of three people. Says the Gemara Masnisen, Deloy Kiaitana, Al Mishnah, which gives us a number three, is not going according to Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, the sign of Lezer ben Yaakov Aymer. Avilu Tzinerish Al Hegdash, even a gold, little gold fork of Hegdash, requires a whole minion. Tzricha, Sorab, Neodim, Leptois, you need 10 people to redeem it. And here we say three is enough. So we have a machlekes. Okay, let's go down the numbers. Bishloim, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, understand his shita. That 10 are required, Amar Shmuel. The Amar he goes, Kedesh Shmuel, like Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, Asorah, Koyhanem, Ksuv, Meparsha. Take a close look at the Chumash there. I believe it's in Parashas Bahar. So we have the discussions regarding being Poyde. And there are three distinct discussions there. First is about Erechen, when a person donates his own value, fixed value. And we have the word Koyin mentioned three times. Next is Pidyon Behemot Meo, when one goes and redeems a non-kosher animal, or likewise any item which isn't really suitable for the Hegdash, and you come to redeem it. So there we have the word Kayin mentioned another three times. And finally, when we have a discussion regarding redeeming property belonging to Hegdash, we have the word Kayin mentioned four times. Okay, that's the way it is. Three, three, and four. So Shmuel says, well, if you look at the entire, at the discussion in the Chumash in its entirety, how many times is the word Kayin mentioned? A total of 10 times. Which indicates to us that you need 10 people. You don't need the Kohanim, but 10 people to make the pidyon, to praise the value of the pidyon. Okay, that's pretty clear cut. El Rabbanu, Kohen to Rabbanu, Shloshim Nalu. They say three people. How do you get the three? Where does three come? Perhaps the Chsibu Shloshim, because in the middle parsha, which discusses standard redemptions of Hegdash, we have the word Kohen mentioned three times. That's how you get the three. Well, if that's the case, you're looking at parsha by parsha separately, so then karkois. What about properties that you're redeeming? The chsibu arba, well, we have the word kai mentioned four times in the Torah. Tiski barba, so perhaps four is enough for that? Is that true? It's incorrect. Look at our Mishnah. You need 10 for karka. B'chitei mechnamis, you mean that's true? Al-Matanah. So why does Mishnah say hakarkois? In redeeming and appraising the value of karka, you need tisha v'koin, 9 plus a koin, a total of 10. So how does this work? Elamai, so you must say like this. The reason why karka requires 10 is because it's accumulative. Since karka is the last of the three parshias, in the first parsha you have three kinds. Then comes another three. Then comes four. So by the time you finish karka, right, accumulatively, right, it's a total of 10 mentionings of the word kayin. So that's how you work it. So that's how you get to 10. So if that's the case, if that's the basis for 10 requirement by the karka, so then Hegdashis, the middle parsha, which discusses, you know, standard redemptions, not real estate, standard, you know, redemptions of items. If you look at it accumulatively, right, how many times is the word kayin mentioned by the time the Torah speaks about that middle parsha? Well, you have three in the first parsha, three in the second, total of six. Dimash limibushit, if you have six in total, liboyushit, then requires six, not three, and we leave it as a kasha, unanswered question kasha. Okay, we began extolling the virtues of the great tzaddik, Rabbi Dibbin Baba, who sacrificed his life in order to maintain the smicha tradition in Klal Yisrael. We discussed smicha taking place only in Eretz Yisrael. We discussed the chantings that were applied to various chachamim who were deserving of the smicha. We discussed the number of dayanim involved in the Egla Rufa. 3, 5, or the entire membership of the Bez Nagadol. 3 experts involved in Pidyon Maaseh Sheni, Shein Dam of Yiduin. And likewise, 3 are involved in being Poyde Hegdash. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rabba.